Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to a bonus episode of the Brian Dainsburg Podcast. And we are talking all things Lakeside Alliance Church. And I have with me lead pastor of Lakeside Alliance Church, John Vallier.
Brian, it's great to be able to be here again with you. I think this is our third time talking about Lakeside.
Yeah. And the last time we talked, Lakeside was still in the future in terms of her launch. And here we are sitting in March. And she's a living, breathing reality now. And so we want to talk a little bit about that. And why don't we start with this? January 7th was the soft opening.
Yep.
Right. And then we had a public launch a couple weeks later.
Correct.
January 21st. So take us through, because somebody might be wondering, okay, starting a church, what's that like?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when it comes down to, okay, this Sunday's here and now you got to get going. You got to do something. You got to have something. So what was that first month like for you and your team? Because there's been an army involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what a great question. Really when I think about that first month, what was surprising to me was we had been in a long process of praying, planning, preparing, for 18 months in some ways, depending on how you look at it, but really 12 months where we had been intentionally working towards building out this church. What is this going to be like? And most of that was, of course, focused on where we're heading in 5 years rather than, first Sunday. However, as we got closer, especially those last 3 months, was drilling down into that. And so as we got to January 7th, I was excited, a little nervous, a little apprehensive, how's this going to go? But that first morning, couldn't sleep well that night before, but, got right up, got at it, had more energy than I could imagine. And our soft launch Sunday, so January 7th, we had just as many people there as we did on our public launch Sunday to the community. Now, when we think about that, I think about the amount of advertising and the amount of communication and invites that went into the public launch Sunday being, through the roof, right?
Yeah.
But we had just as much involvement on that very first Sunday.
Wow.
So, had people coming.
Word was out. Continue.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know how.
You couldn't contain it. Yeah, you couldn't contain it. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, and actually, folks here at Alliance Bible Church, they have done a champion job of inviting and encouraging and just sharing and posting and all kinds of other little simple actions to get the word out. They've done an amazing job. I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody say, well, actually I have a friend that goes to this other church and, their church, I haven't gone there. It's like kind of far from me or something, but they were telling me about Lakeside.
Yeah.
That has happened so many times.
So when people hear about starting a church, probably, even the average person is going to think, Sunday morning worship service. Yeah, we get that. But there's more to church than Sunday morning worship services. And LAC's jumping into that now.
That's right.
So there's all sorts of support ministry that happens around it. And some might be surprised to find out that that's happening already. But talk about it.
Well, right. And Sunday morning is certainly, our core. We've got, a phenomenal amount of and phenomenal volunteers going hard at it during the week, preparing, thinking through, organizing, packing boxes, stuffing bulletins, designing things every single week, right? Yeah. So all of that's going on. And that's definitely the core. But throughout the week, we have studies going on. We have a Next Step study for men. We have a Next Step study for women. Those are Bible studies. We've got a Divers Club for fifth and sixth graders happening and a whole team of people running that program. We've got community groups, out there functioning, operating for, families and couples and singles all gathering throughout the area. And you start adding all of those programs throughout the week, and then these other structure things of people planning, meeting, finance, you know, teams handling things. And you realize there's a whole apparatus around that Sunday morning core that's functioning. And it's exciting to watch all these people putting their gifts into action.
Right. Now, you're in a temporary location. We should remind people of that in case they're tuning in for the first time. You're where right now?
Right now, we're meeting in a banquet hall. It's a hotel ballroom on the edge of town in Port Washington. So it's the Lepanto Banquet Hall. The owner has been phenomenal to work with, very easygoing, actually loves Alliance Bible Church. And out of his love for this church, he doesn't attend here, but just out of his love for the people that go here, wanted to be of help to us.
Wow. That's cool. Now you're eyeing a permanent home.
Seriously, eyeing.
Eyeing, yeah. All right. There's stories to be told. Yeah. Tell us about what that is, when you want it to happen, when it might happen, when it'll really happen.
I can't say too much, Brian. in terms of the when, I have been taught over and again. I keep in my office a sign. It says, Lakeside Alliance Church coming fall of 2023. Now, if anybody's been tracking the timeline here, we did not hit fall of 2023. I keep that in my office as a reminder to one, under promise and over deliver. Yeah. And two, God's plan and his timing is always perfect.
Yeah.
And so even in construction projects, you know, I want to trust his plan. He, every single time I have found myself going, oh, this is why that didn't work out, and this is why we needed to wait, and et cetera. But bottom line, we ended up finding a relationship with a developer in the area who is putting together the Prairie's Edge neighborhood on the south side of town, up on the bluffs, beautiful location. You can actually, from our church, look out over Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
You can see blue water.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying envy
of our denomination right there. The location of this thing is the envy of our denomination. It'd be the best preaching venue in the entire state.
I didn't know I was going to have to compete with the views when in my preaching, but my wife tells me I'm a handsome guy, so it'll be okay. Just kidding. But anyway, so this developer has been putting together this neighborhood. He had a willingness and a heart to work with a church. Yeah. And so here we are. We have been working then towards a new building. We don't own it. We're just leasing it. But it has been under construction. Construction's going well. It's not going exactly on time. If anybody knows about construction, that's a common refrain. But we're getting very close to being able to get occupancy, get in there. Today, we are even walking through, looking at audio, visual, lighting, IT, all that kind of stuff. So we are in those final steps.
And it's beautiful. I mean, pictures on online, social media, as this thing goes up, it really is going to be a gorgeous facility when it's done.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that we know and we believe is, of course, that excellence honors the Lord. Now, we didn't come up with, you know, this idea of we just want to be on the lake, even though our name is Lakeside, you know, or we wanted this beautiful brand new place. That wasn't our vision. You know, that's what has been icing on the cake. But our desire has actually been about empowering our people through a facility to be able to do ministry. And we're a big partnership church. We really want our folks to take ownership, to be empowered towards using their gifts, ministering the gospel message to people through all kinds of means, all kinds of programs. And the building really helps us accomplish that end.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure the average person, particularly from Alliance Bible Church, who, they've heard about this and we've been hitting it for years now. Here we are towards the end of March. They're wondering in their heads, how's it going? I mean, we've talked a little bit about the logistics involved and some of the support structure around ministry. But really, when they're asking that question, they're not asking...
Yeah.
They're not asking about that. They want to know how's the church doing?
Yeah.
How's it really doing? So talk about that, because As you and I talked before we started recording, it's been a very good start.
It has been, and I want to make sure that anytime that we're talking about it, we're being clear that the credit goes to the Lord, because we could not have engineered this good of a start. We're not this smart. We're not this talented. We're not this wise, but God is. And so for me, the first marker has been who it is that we're reaching. When you plant a church, many times people are saying, hey, you're just taking people from one church and shuffling them around to another church. Well, to an extent, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that there's a percentage of that. However, even within there, are we talking about people coming from a gospel preaching church, one that believes the Bible, looks at Jesus as being the Son of God? Or are we talking about somebody that believes that the Bible, it's a nice set of fairy tales, you can read it if you want, Jesus, I mean, good guy, Son of God, I don't know about that. Somebody leaving that church, we're just fine with, because they're leaving a gospelist church. It's theologically dead. So yes, there's some of that, but even to what degree, what are we talking about? Beyond that, our hope was that we were going to be reaching the confused, discouraged, disconnected, addicted, and spiritually lost. And so many of our folks really fit that bill, and they don't have a church background, or it's been years and years. And so it's a true church plant accomplishing the goal that was set out for it. So it's doing well in that respect. Additionally, it's not just a couple people coming in and checking this out. We have had boatloads. We feel very blessed by the opportunities that the Lord's given us to start reaching people. And so while the dust is still settling, we're not very far along yet. You know, a typical Sunday morning, you're going to find 170 people, a whole chunk of that brand new, figuring things out, or very new, figuring things out. And so we love that. And that's a typical feel for us on a Sunday.
So we're, let's see, whatever weeks, 8, 9, 10 weeks.
11.
11. But who's counting?
Right.
11 weeks into this. And, you can only prepare for so much.
Yeah.
What, as you look back now on those weeks, this initial start, and to an extent you're still in the throes of this, but what have been some of the things you've learned? Some of the lessons impressed upon you? And maybe these are things too that have been shared collectively within the team, because you obviously you got an army that's around you. You've talked about that. Some of the things that they've learned, some of the things that they've witnessed, some of the things that have, that the Lord really has driven home to them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I can speak for everybody, but for myself, thinking about it, really three come to mind. One has been the importance of church membership, or as we call it, partnership. It is so important to know who it is that you are truly in alignment with, that they're agreeing with you theologically. These are the folks that you can talk to at a deeper level, and they can encourage you, that can pray for you. And we have sensed that kind of familial bond and the importance of knowing and having a structure and a process and really even a discipleship tool that is, and for the health of our church, that's been huge. And so that has been a refresher for me of going, oh, I see why this is so important. I see why this is in the Bible. I'm so glad we practice this and that we were prepared. Yeah. So we've got 45 or 42, something like that, partners right now. And that's wonderful. That number is growing. And so we celebrate that. Secondly, has been gospel centrality. When you're a preacher, not every message can simply be an evangelistic sermon with an invitation at the end, right? And yet, in a church planting setting, you're sitting there going, I so desperately need to share once again this nutshell of the gospel with you. And if you can't find your way, if you don't see the scriptures through a gospel-centric lens, that's going to be difficult. If your preaching doesn't reflect that, you're going to be either becoming very trite, or you're going to be having to cherry pick all the texts that only line up with that. I just finished our first sermon series, Fresh Start, that has certainly been in alignment with this. But even there, you're going, listen, I want people to know the kind of preaching that we really engage in well after this series.
Yeah.
So that's been huge. Mm-hmm. And then really the third and final thing has been an understanding for me of how easy it is for me as a leader to underestimate what God can do. Whether this is underestimating what he can do in somebody's heart in changing and teaching them, growing them, underestimating the size, the scope, the extent that he might have in store for what Lakeside should be doing, or underestimating how much he wants to do in me. Mm. It's pretty easy for me to underestimate and have a less than faithful mindset as to going, God, what do you want to do? This is your church. And so anyways, that kind of challenge to grow and to have that kind of big picture view of God, what are you up to here? Those have been some of the things really impressed on me during this season.
So when someone plans for a church plant, you can plan, but you don't know what you don't know because it's not reality yet. You put all these plans in place, then the church starts. Now you're meeting the real people. It's the flesh and blood, and the faces are coming through, and you're getting a feel for what's happening around you. As you think about the future here, and to an extent, you're probably still feeling out what is reality for this church. What are some of the things that have surprised you? What are some of the tweaks or adjustments, or maybe just simply the musings you have as you think about the future of LAC?
Yeah. Well, you know, it reminds me of a quote that Dwight D. Eisenhower had. He spoke in terms of, especially thinking in terms of World War II, if you're not familiar with Dwight D. Eisenhower and the general that he was. But he talked about the essential of the work of planning and yet the worthlessness of a plan once you're actually in motion. Right. This I found to be somewhat true when it comes to church planting, that the actual work that we go through as a leader and with elders and with other directors and all kinds of things of planning something is essential. And as a leader, you've got to stay out there on the tip of the spear, thinking what's next, what do we need to be working on, what do we need to do, leading your team. In that sense, while knowing that that plan is going to change, you are going to put something together, you are going to put it into motion, and then you better trust the Lord and be really flexible because this is not going to go exactly according to your plan. And as a planner, that's a little difficult to let go of your great plan that you worked on. Still working on that. But I would say some of the things that we have then experienced on that side of things, aside from construction, aside from all that, I look at it through the lens of thinking, I, as a pastor, am here to equip people for the work of ministry. How well am I doing at equipping our leaders for now who it is that's actually walking in our doors? That's a difficult piece because you're in a church planting setting. You didn't know exactly who was going to come, but now they're here and now you're responding and thinking to yourself, how is it, because you can't do it all, how is it that I can help equip my people for the actual ministry to real life people that they're now experiencing? We've got folks leading studies that are experiencing challenging questions. We've got folks on Sunday morning encountering, you know, people coming from a different faith background, right? How am I doing at helping equip them to now carry out this plan of ministry that they need to execute?
So, you know, as you think about, you know, people who might be listening to this, they might be wondering, well, okay, I got the rearview mirror look. I got current state kind of and some musings about the future. What is needed now? You know, it's a great start, and we've mentioned the fact that I don't know that we could have drawn up something better. But certainly churches, you know, as you get a feel for what actually is the terrain on the ground, the lay of the land. What are the needs? What are your prayer requests? What's heavy on your heart as you think about now, okay, we got a great start. How do we have a great next chapter?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you a couple of the things that are on my horizon as I look ahead here and hoping, praying, thinking, Lord, how could you potentially solve this need for us? We don't know, but some of them would include two major items that I see on the horizon. Number one is we have had a heart to start a recovery care program. We've talked about this. We think addictions is a growing issue in our neck of the woods, that there has been very few biblical-minded, biblical-based solutions to, and we want to be a part of that. So that doesn't happen, especially church planting, you're trying to, you know, just get lifeblood, keep it alive, you know, and so forth. And John, you're sitting here talking about this program that you want to launch because you think that this is really needed. So we're thinking, dreaming, how can we partner? How can we find, how can we develop folks to be able to meet that need? So that's one of them. Second one for me on the horizon is thinking about student ministry. Most church plants just have to write this question off for a lengthy period of time. We feel blessed and in a position, but also responsible to be ministering, discipling those young men and women. And so I'm hoping, I'm praying for leaders to be able to develop, to be able to commission, to minister to, whether that's seventh and eighth grade or all sixth grades, all the way up to 12th, you know, if we can be able to minister to them and maybe launch something in the fall, I would love to see that happen. So those are two big needs, but, you know, some other rocks have to move in place. Some other people have to, you know, be able to become ready for this or that, right? You know, but those are the two on my horizon for what I would love to see after we get into a building. And we've already got, on our schedule, 7 summer camps for kids all going, you know, but what about that older generation? What about those older students? Is there a way that we can meet them where they're at?
Right. One more question for you. Undoubtedly, we have people listening who are prayer warriors. And probably some who are pretty voracious fighters, you know, in private, who would want to know, okay, how can I get on my knees for you? How can I get on my knees for Lakeside and continue to lift you up to the Lord? Mm-hmm. If someone like that was to come up to you and say, ask you that, what are going to be some of the first couple, mm-hmm. three things that come to mind?
Yeah, well, you know, if I know the person, I trust them. I don't know who's listening to this podcast, but if that's you, you know, what would first roll through my mind is praying for sustainability. You know, church planting is a difficult task on yourself and on your family. It's not just me in the ring. It's me, my wife, my 4 kids, my elders, you know, it's all this kind of stuff. But praying for sustainability, for me, first and foremost, would be the request on my heart. Secondly, would be for humility. You know, I don't look at this going, oh, yeah, you know, John, you've got this thing figured out. Not in that sense, but humility in the sense of going, I want to stand at my true height. This is a great quote by Philip Brooks on humility, that it's standing at your true height against a higher nature that shows you the real smallness of your greatness. Mm-hmm. I love that quote. And I want a humble heart that goes, Lord, show me your glory. So I see how small I really am. Mm-hmm. That, you know what, that critique, I can take it, right? Or, you know, that failure, I can take it. Because I see how small I really am. Yeah. And so those would be two requests that I can unashamedly you know, share and say, pray for me for.
Yeah. Well, the Lord has been exceedingly good. And John and I were talking about that. And and the Lord's been very good to ABC too in all this as well as we've, so to speak, birthed this church, and we are exceedingly grateful and humbled before God for His goodness to us, and He has given us better than we deserve through this, and we're thrilled at what has transpired so far. And it certainly is an encouragement, and it certainly is an energizing factor as we think about keeping after it. Not that we were going to quit if it didn't go well, but
right.
But it certainly does help to get some early wins. And and the Lord has given us that. And we're thankful to you all who have supported in one way or another this ministry, this work. And we look forward to seeing how the Lord uses this in the months and the years to come. John, thanks for being here.
Brian, thanks so much for having me.